Welcome to the Granny Podcast. This week's podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Chairs. From the people that brought you tables, it's Chairs. They hold you up so you can lay it down. Welcome to the Granny Podcast. This week's podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Chairs. From the people that brought you tables, it's Chairs. They hold you up so you can lay it down. On today's podcast, we have Saul.
Hello.
And Mary.
Hello.
And Corinne.
Hello.
And Kimber.
Hello.
All right, guys, so how are we doing today?
Pretty well. You forgot to introduce yourself. We also have RC.
Oh.
Or Rob.
No, I'd also like to point out, RC is a good reason that I decided to go ahead and try to get the Granny Cast going, because I had no idea what I was doing, and RC helped me kind of get some stuff going. And obviously, if you guys don't know, Saul's the one that's recording and editing all of this, so with RC and Saul, thank you guys.
Props to them. Oh, yeah.
Funny thing is, I'm actually wearing my podcast t-shirt right now.
Nice.
Really?
I'm wearing pajamas.
I'm eating pizza.
Oh, my God, I'm eating goldfish. But I'm being very quiet about it.
Our sponsor, Chairs, will not be happy with all this rambling.
I know, guys. Come on. Like, they're donating so many chairs. Rob, do you want to go ahead and start us off with the first topic?
Which is?
That's why Saul, you should have just said it.
It's funny because now we know he wasn't paying attention. All right, so I guess our first topic is kind of discussing, since the new Doctor Who has already gone on for about 6 seasons now, we're about to go into our 7th season, and we have yet to see, and this also comes with the light that the new companion has been announced, but we have yet to see a male companion, like a companion that is, well, the major companion that that the Doctor travels with, not just like a secondary one, such as like Rory
or Mickey or Jack, right? Or Adam.
Who's Adam?
Yeah, see, that's how important Adam was. He was in 2 episodes with the 9th Doctor and Rose. He was on that like space station that was a television station.
Oh, yeah, I think. Or that fat guy with the baby.
No, wait, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah?
He was actually... He was in the episode where the Daleks came back in the 9th Doctor.
Okay. Now that makes more sense, because you just said that one of the television stations, and I'm kind of blanked out. But yeah, like, I wanted to kind of discuss this, because, I mean, in the classic Who, they had a... I mean, I think they had at least 2... male companions that were like the major, like the primary companions for the Doctor, and I mean, they were pretty important. I mean, one of them was Colonel Sergeant.
Something to be honest, like that. I don't know much about any of the original Doctors.
Yeah, I was going to say, my familiar...
Yeah, neither do I. Eight. Or 1 through 8.
At least not their companions. I might...
Well, I mean, at least we know that they existed. Yeah. I mean, we know that they had male, like, primary male companions in Classic Who. And I guess I just wanted to like, get your opinions on, as to, like, when do you expect, or if you even expect a male companion in the new style of Doctor Who.
I don't really.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I really don't want it to be. I mean, I kind of like that he has a female companion. I like that the show kind of adds a little bit of, you know, diversity as far as, you know, like, genders concerned. I don't think it would really bother me if there was a male companion. However, so far, I've really liked what the female companions have added.
All that romantic tension.
I mean, people love that romantic tension. You have to be honest about it. People enjoyed that. Even with people like, I don't know, like Amy, who has a significant other, people still want to, like, think in the back of their minds, oh, Amy and the Doctor together, that sort of thing. So people definitely like that romance aspect of it. And that's
I liked that Donna and the Doctor didn't, and I did not like the whole Martha hopelessly in love with the Doctor. I found that to be really annoying.
But Donna also had, like, she did like him. I mean, they kind of made it a point to say nothing's going to happen, but originally she was like, oh, who's this guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I guess for me personally, when she was his companion, I wasn't, like, shipping them, or I wasn't thinking, oh, they'd make such a cute couple. I just thought she made, like, a great addition to the show, and she made an awesome companion. So, like, for me, I didn't see so much of, like, a romance there, just as, you know, a great character.
Like, I have to agree with Kimberly, it was a great character-on-character dynamic. It wasn't really romantic, but just, like, a pairing of really good friends who, not just, like, they don't both love each other, but they both hate each other at the same time, because they're always, like, fighting, and then they're always, like, helping each other and things like that. But it was just a good, like, pairing, a good dynamic between two characters.
Donna.
It's just, it's weird, I hear you guys just comparing it based on the romantic tension, and then obviously, like, I mean, with the whole Donna thing, it was more just, like, a friendly thing, but in my mind, it just looks like the younger that they keep making the Doctor, the rarer it's gonna get for them to actually involve a primary male companion. Mainly because, I guess, when people try to attribute a male character to a male character, one of those male characters is usually, at least the primary one, has to be older.
Right.
Not in the sense of, like, they have to be older just because they know more, but, like, they have to be older because they're the primary character, and usually the primary character has more experience. They're the ones that the entire show is focused around. And if you have the secondary character, in this case, being the companion, if the secondary character is also male, and you find, and if even if they could find a male companion who was, like, I guess, around the same age as Rory or Mickey, that would be the primary companion, then it would probably work in the sense that they would still kind of be more aloof to what's going on, and kind of just be like the bystander the entire time, but they wouldn't really play in to the whole dynamic of the Doctor and companion. Like, they wouldn't, I don't know, I guess there's a difference between having a female companion and a male companion, is that a female companion gets more involved with what the Doctor is doing, as opposed to a male companion who, if you really take it into what a guy would normally do in real life, they wouldn't really go chasing around another guy.
Yeah,
right.
Who is, like, having all these adventures, you get me?
You do have to think about the emotional aspect of, like, a woman countering, like, a male emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I actually have a question. How would you guys feel if the Doctor had a companion that wasn't human? Like,
ooh, that would be weird.
They touched on that, but I'd like to see it.
Because, like, the Doctor, his whole thing is about protecting humans.
Right.
And he, like, loves the Earth, and he loves humans, and he tries to save them. He also loves aliens, but
you can also show the dynamic. You can show the dynamic of him trying to, like, introduce an alien to humans, and, like, why he's all about them, and have you all have the funny thing where he has to hide that they're an alien when he goes back in time with them and stuff.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, that would make, like, so many great episodes. Just
Star Trek runs for three seasons on that.
I would know. I'm not really a Trekkie. I could get into it. I've watched many episodes, but not, yeah.
Well, what I wanted, what I was going to say was I saw that, I don't know if this is an April Fool's Day thing because of it being so recently, but something about the next Doctor being a woman.
Yeah, I've heard of, I've heard a lot of people discuss that too. I don't know.
No, like I saw an article that said it was a distinct possibility for his next incarnation.
I think that Stephen Moffat had also tweeted about that as well. But yeah, I actually do believe it was just an April Fool's thing.
Okay.
Because it wouldn't be consistent with the fact that River had the same same regenerations, but she kept regenerating as a woman. Same thing with the Doctor, who has already regenerated, 10 times, and he's regenerated 10 times as a man. So,
they've made mentions to Time Lords, possibly changing genders, apparently.
I have heard that.
They've given the possibility, but they've never actually proven that it was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, that would also change, about the whole, we're talking about dynamics of character and such, it would change it a bit, but it would be an interesting thing. But also we have what's essentially a 1,000-year-old man suddenly getting a sex change.
He'll be
a ginger next time, but a
female ginger. That's exactly what I'm not ready for any of these other big changes until he's ginger.
Amy Pond is actually the 12th Doctor.
I mean, they could play
That's
it off.
That's a big surprise at the end of this next season.
Exactly.
They could play it off as a fact, since we all know, the history that before the Time Lord race and the Council, they regulated how many times a Time Lord could regenerate, they could play it off as that they had set it at only 12 regenerations, because after that, the form of a Time Lord could never be controlled, into what it could regenerate into, or maybe it would have a sex change or something like that. Maybe they could play it off as that piece of information that nobody would really know what happens to a Time Lord after the 12th regeneration, because it's never really happened before. So that would be something that I guess we could expect if that's what they were gonna.
That would be very weird.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know how I would feel about it. Even though we get a different personality every, regeneration, mm-hmm. I kind of feel like there's a little bit of consistency with at least him being male, and you can still feel like it's the same Doctor. Whereas if they decided to go with a female, I don't know if I could view her as the Doctor just because it's not as consistent. It's might be too different for me is what I'm saying. I don't know.
And even you just saying that, I'm thinking the Doctor. I'm thinking, that's such a male name, a male title kind of thing.
So women can't,
because
women
I'm
can't
so
be
used
doctors.
To. No, women no, can't. I mean.
God, Mary, sexism.
That is not what I meant, and I was thinking about that as I was saying it. What I mean in this context, when I hear the doctor, I'm like, oh, okay, that's a guy. I think I'm a guy. I don't know. Maybe it would be interesting if they introduced a female, you know how they had the Master? Well, somehow another Time Lord is actually
Yeah, I would
alive.
Like a Time
And
lady,
it's a female Time Time.
I actually...
Well, River, kind of.
Well, true, that's true. But, an actual one.
Yeah.
I just really want
and,
to see his daughter.
And the Jenny. There's Jenny.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Because you know
back.
She's still around, hanging out somewhere.
She's not there
somewhere. In her rocket ship.
Yeah.
In her rocket ship. Because that's what time... Oh, God.
It's more or less than she had.
That's what happens again, right?
I don't know. I mean, you guys also. I mean, you all just said that you've never watched the classics, but there is a. I mean, there is a second Time Lady out there, and that's his granddaughter.
Yeah, Susan.
Right, and then nothing really happened to her. She didn't die or anything. He kind of just left her.
Well, they kind of alluded to that, Tennant did. I'm not a father anymore because of the Time War and everything.
Right, but again, when we had the first Doctor, he brought her along everywhere, so.
Right.
And when that season kind of ended, at least when we didn't have the first Doctor anymore, he had left her, I don't remember if it was on Earth somewhere or if it was on another planet. But he just left her. So it's not like she was a casualty of the Time War. It's just that she's out there somewhere, that it's, like, unknown to any of us. And who knows, maybe...
Maybe she regenerated as a man.
Maybe.
I feel like they've been, like, they haven't been consistent with storylines from past Doctors lately. So, I don't...
In what way?
Well, it's kind of hard.
I don't know, like,
I feel like their storyboard's really big.
Like, between, like...
A lot of connections.
I don't know.
No, I mean, I don't know if it hasn't been if it's been inconsistency, more just, like, a disregard for...
Yeah.
For other past
storylines,
like,
that are forgotten.
That's kind of like that 70s show. Donna had a sister in the first few episodes, and then, like, she was never spoken of again.
True. And, like her mom just disappears after her mom and her dad,
That's Chuck Cunningham syndrome.
Are things like that, like, considered inconsistencies, or are they just, like,
well, not
just pieces that are...
They just didn't, like, pick it back up. Or ignoring it, I guess.
Like,
not like
sort of inconsistent.
Or the fact that they keep bringing the Daleks back, even though they keep telling us they've
defeated
the Daleks.
They're like the last time, and then they said there's going to be in the seventh series that it's going to be like they're going to be back. But I'm like, they've been defeated like 5 times.
Well, actually, no. Because
we defeated the Emperor. We defeated the Dart. We defeated Darvos. We defeated the Ironsides. They came back and fought the Cybermen.
The Ironsides, I mean, well, the last Ironsides we saw were in the sixth season, and after that, they were kind of defeated by their own kind, like, the new ones, and that's when the Doctor was kind of, like, outsmarted by the Daleks, most recently.
You would
because,
a good Dalek.
Because they were able to escape, so... I mean, I don't find it shocking that they're coming back in the seventh season because we did see them, like, kind of escape in the sixth season.
All I'm figuring out of this is, like, all the Time War did was kind of kill the Daleks and make the Time Lords into dicks.
It destroyed all the Time Lords, but the whole purpose was to destroy all the Daleks, and it just didn't happen.
But, I mean, even considering the Time War, like, think about it. You have a war that's surrounding around two... particular races that can control time or at least travel through it.
Can the Daleks? That's what I've never really understood.
The Daleks could travel through time. That's why they were able to. That was the reason for the Time War, was that to take away their ability to travel through time.
Okay.
Because they were using it for evil purposes. Or at least they were planning to. But the fact that you're having a war that's based on time. Kind of like, I guess it just ripples like what both of those races were kind of capable of doing, and it wouldn't really be a surprise like to see more Time Lords kind of come out of the Time War, even though like supposedly it's like a fixed point in time, when technically you can't really consider a fixed point in time over a war that's based on time. You get me? Because then you're just kind of you're causing too many ripples in what should be just a big black hole. In what shouldn't exist, but does exist, and it just gets way too complicated.
Time locks are the Bermuda Triangle of time travel. things just go there, it gets weird.
But yeah, like, so that's why it doesn't really... I can't consider those to be inconsistencies that the Daleks keep coming back. The fact that the Cybermen keep coming back, that's what I kind of find, a little bit tricky. Like, because it makes no sense to me why they keep coming back when there is no... I mean, I don't know who keeps finding the knowledge to rebuild Cybermen or where they keep coming from when they cannot travel through time. They are basically
robots.
I mean, yeah,
they just have their little seed in every time span of the entire
some reason
history
but,
of existence.
The Daleks and the Cybermen though definitely have my favorite Doctor Who quote ever. You are
and?
Superior in only one fashion. You're better at dying.
I think my favorite is that one about putting the angels have the phone box on the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's so stupid, but I love it. I just watched that the other day.
It'd be an awesome band name.
Alright, next topic?
No. Sure.
Okay.
Who wants to... Kimber, you can introduce the next topic.
So our next topic is going to be about proto-nostalgia. And for those of you who may not know what that is, it's basically when you become nostalgic or you miss a time period or place you have never actually been. Mary, I know you said that you had mentioned that you experienced this quite a lot.
I don't think I experience it just because I really do believe that just my manner, not my mannerisms so much, but just the things that I value, it just doesn't correlate well with the modern age. So I'm thinking like, oh, I should be more of like the early 1800s or like the 19th century or something like that, where I think I should be back where it was like less, even though I love technology and everything about it, just less centered around these sort of things that take us away from, like, learning and, like, books and things like that. But I know from when you were talking, I thought about this, is that I feel like I experience this a lot when I'm reading books that are, like, historical fictions, because you get so enamored in the setting and where everything that's going on historically in that book or even in a TV show, like Downton Abbey, like stuff like that. I feel those sort of connections really bring out this experience.
I was going to say, I think I'm almost in a way very different from that. Like you talked about back to a time where learning and stuff was more important, and that I definitely would be agreed with. But I wish that I was born in like the 60s. For the specific reason that I would have been growing up in a period where to learn about computers, you had to know like quite a bit more about how they operate in order to start using them. And I would have, by this point in time, if I would have kept up with it, I would know so much more about the underlying programming side of machines.
Right, and really, if you think about it, it's the things that you value as a person that comes out. Like, obviously, you value this technology thing. I value like my values, like the certain things that I live my life on, which I think were more important back then than now. Just such things as modesty or something along those lines.
Kimber, have you seen like Midnight in Paris?
I have not.
It's like pretty much about this whole concept, and like a guy goes to Paris and he wants to, like, live in the 1920s, and at midnight, like, a carriage takes him back to the 20s, and he meets all of his, like, heroes, but then he meets this girl that he, like, falls in love with, but she wants to go back to a different time, and he realizes this whole concept of, like, everyone just wants to live in a different time, that he really should be, like, living in the present and making the most out of it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of feel that with proto-nostalgia, because you hear all the time of people like, gosh, I really wish I lived back in the medieval days when there were, like, knights. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know what disease there were? And, them? And like, no. It'd be terrible. And, like, I love going to Renaissance fairs and, you know,
oh,
like,
my gosh.
Experiencing the good parts of that. Like, not, like...
I can throw quite the axe at the Renaissance Fair.
Now, like, for me, I guess I don't really get nostalgic of a time period more as, like, a place. And I think anytime I start listening to Celtic music or I rewatch Riverdance for, like, the thousandth time, I'm like, what? I was born in the wrong country. Like, I get, like, really sad sometimes. Like, I start listening. I'm not going to lie. I spent about a good week trying to figure out how I can, like, move to Ireland and, like, maybe become an au pair. And, like, I was just listening to, like...
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I keep thinking that I've mentioned to my parents so many times how I really, really want to go to Ireland for my 21st birthday, and I just keep hoping that it's just going to be this big surprise where they're like, here's tickets to Ireland. Adele, I don't think that's going to happen, but
you have to do everything else, but here's the tickets.
Well, that would be the most expensive part, is the tickets. But
yeah, you go to Ireland, but you don't have, like, a place to stay, or, like, you're just, like, roaming the streets until you have to go back.
My birthday is on St. Patrick's Day.
Happy birthday.
So, I don't know. I just love to backpack.
I tease Sean all the time about, like, how much I love his accent. And, like, I love the Irish accent. I think it is so pretty and so, it's just, I don't know. I love it. I just love Ireland
is this
in general.
Proto-nostalgia is, like, the definition about a time period? Or can it be, like, a nostalgia for anything? Like, before nostalgia or whatever?
It's basically where you just miss a time or a place you've never been.
Or a place, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that most of us, that at least during the Harry Potter era, although in my deepest heart, I know that era is not over. We all have nostalgia for, like, actually going to Hogwarts and kind of being sorted and things like that, even though it doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the kind of, like, that's actually a perfect example of what proto-nostalgia would exemplify. Fandoms, I mean, any fandom nowadays, like, a fan in a particular fandom just wants to be a part of that world. Like,
right.
They're experiencing proto-nostalgia on their own.
That's what I was saying about books and stuff.
My biggest experience with that would be in the Buffyverse. Because, yeah. I mean, like, that was probably, like, my first thing, I mean, besides Harry Potter, that I really became connected with. Like, I love that show, and I grew to love the characters, and, like, I remember, like, just being really depressed, because Buffy is a depressing show by itself, but I became, like, really depressed that, like, this world wasn't real, and, like, I just kind of felt a part of it, and, yeah.
I hear you. I actually just watched Buffy for the first time last year.
Oh. Me too.
Like, I watched all the seasons in a row, like, within a month.
Dang, that's what I did.
But you know what time period I miss, guys?
What?
The 90s.
Oh, here we go.
But, you were, well,
we've been
there.
It's not
part
of nostalgia. So you've been really to the 90s.
Aw, man, well, now you guys just ruined my lead-in.
That's a different type of nostalgia. I think Kimber and I were talking about this earlier in a Skype chat.
That's nostalgia?
You guys messed up my lead-in. I was trying to plug 90s Day.
Oh, yes, actually.
Sorry.
So for those listening who aren't familiar, you too can re-experience the 90s at VidCon.
Yeah,
that should have been
our
sponsor.
That should have been the sponsor.
Way to go,
yeah, I don't think we should actually mention VidCon as a sponsor. I think there's, like, legalities there.
Not VidCon, the 90s
Day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, since, you know, you brought it up so, you know, perfectly, RC, you just fit that right in there. If you guys are going to VidCon and you haven't already heard, Sam and I are planning 90s Day, and that's just essentially where you come wearing 90s apparel, and we'll just basically spend the entire day listening to 90s music, reading Goosebumps. I mean, basically, whatever you feel. What?
I don't care about meeting my favorite YouTubers. I'll read Goosebumps all day.
Re-experiencing the 90s.
Hey, I got my Slap bracelets and my Beast Wars at the ready.
I don't even care about going to VidCon to meet YouTubers, except for Watsky and some of the UK YouTubers. But, like, really,
same,
I'm just
actually
going there for you guys. Yeah.
That's how I was
about
last year.
I'm going to be so sad during VidCon. Because I'm not going.
Have you been before?
No.
Proto nostalgia.
Exactly. Nice topic.
Oh, that was perfect, Mary.
Is proto nostalgia, is that just for time or is it also for places that you've never been?
Places.
Okay, just make it.
That's why I said that, like, any fandom is like a perfect example, because it's usually a place. I mean, it's not necessarily a time, it's usually a place that you want, like, you want to be within the same universe.
And I am proto nostalgic for Playlist Live.
Me too, RC. Me too. Except I was technically there via Google Hangout.
Oh yeah.
I saw that in a video.
So wait, I have a question. So, RC said that he wanted to go back to like the 60s or the 90s, whatever. I said I want to be like grow up. In. Oh, okay. Grow up in the 60s, whatever. I then I would rather be back in like 8th century, 19th century, around there. What about the rest of you guys, Corinne, Kimber, Saul? Where would you want to go back to? Or if you could? Or where?
I don't know. That's not back. That's a place, but still fits.
Where?
I don't know if I would. Kimber wants to go to Ireland.
Who? Yeah.
Just really fast. Ireland at any time.
Like, really fast. Hold on, stop. Audio's being weird, and somebody keeps typing, and it's driving me nuts.
Okay, pause. Okay. Where were we? Yes. Oh, with mine. I would have to say the early 1800s. It's kind of like the same reason as for Rob, except that mine would go further back. I guess around the it's the early 1800s when, like, Charles Babbage was coming up with the difference engine, and it just, that kind of, like, sparked off, like, the race to create, like, an automated thinking machine, or something that would help us process information faster. In that time, it was more, like, just numbers, but it's a little bit more primitive than what Rob was just saying about, like, understanding how computers work. In their core processes, but for me, it kind of gets down to just, like, the logical portion, like, understanding, like, how it all works from the beginning.
Ah. That's cool.
Okay. That's cool, yeah.
You guys are so smart, like, and all that technology stuff.
So then I kind of wonder, like, you're not being sent back to these time periods with your memories that you have now, so
no,
it would, like,
but
really suck that if you went back to these times for this purpose, and you never actually got to, like, live.
Actually experience the rest of it?
Yeah.
It's not, like, I mean, back then it was more of a simpler time. I mean, if the difference engine and all these other things had succeeded, we would be living in a more steampunk era than anything else. Like,
I would be okay with that.
And I would be okay with it, too. That's why I chose that time period, or at least that particular era, because it's actually a time period that's kind of similar to now, except that it was kind of, like, lost because certain things didn't succeed. But, I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, if Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and who else, like, was living back then and all these other things were going on, like, would they have come up with similar ideas, or at least ideas that would have helped steampunk, I guess? I mean, it wouldn't have been called steampunk, but at least that era to actually thrive and not actually give us the whole Apple regime or Microsoft regime or anything like
that. I mean, maybe not Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. If they went back in time, we'd have some awesome difference engine businesses, but they wouldn't necessarily increase the technology side as much.
Well, I mean, they would have made it, because they kind of specialize more in helping users be more interactive with machines.
That's
kind of like, that's why I kind of use those two, because I know that Steve Jobs helped Bill Gates and the rest of Microsoft to kind of, Apple was the ones that they created the first, like, user interface that, like, with a movable mouse and things like that.
Right.
I think it was IBM. I don't remember, but
I know
they were
Apple's
the ones that
first graphical user interface.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. But I mean,
and now we're getting off into a tangent that is just like,
yeah, we are. Okay, so let's just move on.
We're alienating everybody now.
Can we move on to a segment that I'd like to call "My Life Sucks and Today Was Horrible"?
Yes, sure.
Sure, why not?
Cool, Kimber, how was your day?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say my life sucks and today was horrible. it wasn't that bad. I mean, I woke up and my entire throat was so sore that it hurt to, like, breathe. And then I had to go to work, and it was too late to, like, call in or anything because I could not even, like, talk. And then I go to the bathroom, and my eye was, my left eye was really swollen. Like, my eyelid, it was so poofy, and it was drooping, and I looked awful. And I had to go to work like that. And you guys realize I live off tips, and if I don't look cute, I don't make as many tips. And since I don't even get paid minimum wage because I make what a Carhartt makes, which is like $5 an hour plus my tips, like, that was just really unfortunate. And then I'm really good about not tripping or not falling, but today I fell, and I was taking out a customer's food, and I tripped, and I twisted my ankle and skinned my knee, and I just look atrocious today, but yeah, that was...
So anybody listening, go to your nearest Sonics and tell them to go and give Kimber more tips.
Let me go ahead.
We don't have any Sonics here anymore.
I know.
I've got one.
That's what I'm saying. To anybody else listening.
I've got one nearby.
Yeah, if you guys... Okay, apparently people don't know, not, like, a lot of people don't know you're supposed to tip car hops. Yeah, so you're supposed to tip car hops. We live off tips.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean that doesn't make sense?
I mean, like, that people wouldn't understand that. Like, that just seems like if a waiter... You're essentially, in most instances, in my experience, a waiter or waitress on rollerblades.
Yeah, like, the people don't see that. They see it's like fast food. No, it's, like, very different than a fast food place. Like, the way that...
Wait, are you on rollerblades or are you on skates? Because there's a difference.
Oh, good point.
I'm on skates. Sometimes.
They don't allow rollerblades, I don't think.
So, yeah, Kimber, tell us what you're wearing. What are you wearing while you work?
What I'm wearing while I work, I'm wearing shorts, my apron, my thing where I keep my change, my work shirt, my name tag, my visor.
We have to get a really good image of
and,
you.
And to our listeners, you all know what to look for now.
It's a joke, but okay. And don't forget, today's positive message was brought to you by chairs.
So, Kimber, is that all the bad stuff that happened to you today? I'm sorry that happened. Sometimes you just have bad days, and you just gotta chuck through it and have great podcasts with your friends, and then everything is better.
Can I talk about my day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Corinne had a bad day.
Aww. Okay. Aww. So last night, I got, like, 3 hours of sleep. I had to wake up at 6:45 today. Went to school. Everyone was depressed because the kid at my school died last week. And I go to a small high school, so that's not exciting. And then I had a fever, and I've had a cough all day, and I'm super tired, and yeah. It's really nice.
Turn into, like, a group therapy session.
Well, I would talk about my problem, so that I'm going to try to post this on my Facebook, so I don't want people to know about them.
Saul, tell us your woes.
My woes? Well, I mean, I had errands to run today, and because of my errands and, I guess, school, I didn't get to hang out with David, who apparently was only here for, like, 5 days, but,
David Cater?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, other than that, like...
And now you have to edit a podcast.
Now I have to edit a podcast after this, so thank you guys.
Saul hates podcasts. Like, I made him do this.
It is so annoying. You have no idea. Like, it takes me, like, for this half hour or 45 minutes that we're actually talking, I spend about maybe 3 hours editing it.
Wow.
I am just kidding.
Yeah. Saul loves podcasts, guys. Like, I told him about the podcast, And he was like, oh my god, I was so excited. He's like, can I was going to edit, and I'm like, I do not want to do this. He's like, can I do it? I'm like, sure. Yeah, he's all definitely right. Just joking. So, RC, do you have any woes?
I had a lot of food today, and I made a lot of good sales. My day went actually pretty well.
Okay. Good okay. job for the woes.
No, I'm just saying, like, my...
You just ruined the segment.
You know, well, I'm sorry. You should have gotten me on any other day but today.
You just make something up. Jeez. Then
and then I got attacked by a tiger. What?
Okay.
A what?
Too far.
And then I got attacked by a tiger.
Oh. Way to keep it believable, RC.
And then I punched that tiger in the face. True story.
Can we now talk about why our day was good then, Corinne? Or, like, something good that happened?
I had ice cream.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
What flavor?
Chocolate with whipped cream.
In a cup or a cone?
I had it at home. Like,
a bowl.
It's so in
a cup
bowl.
Or a cone.
A bowl.
In a, okay. There's a difference, and it always changes
Who
things.
Who eats ice cream in a cup?
I do.
What? That's so like, weird.
When
you go out, like,
but
they don't give you a
home,
bowl.
At
they give you a cup.
If you're sitting at home, you're not going to, like, do you go and grab a cup?
Yeah.
That's
I don't
want
to eat an
like,
entire bowl.
No, I use a bowl at home.
Root beer float
yeah,
or something.
A bowl is too big.
You don't have to fill it up all the way. It's not like
Are you serious?
Then it's just wasting a bowl.
But you just wasted a cup.
What do you mean wasting? You're not
about
throwing
it
out. It's just
Mary,
kind of works it out.
Are cups more valuable than bowls in your house? Is it like a
yes?
scarcity cup?
I collect cups. I love cups, you guys. If you guys go to like Bell's for the people who know who so Saul just saw. Go to Bell's, get me a Tervis tumbler, and I will drink out of it every day. I'm obsessed with Tervis tumblers.
I love them.
Oh, I just remembered one bad thing that happened to me today.
Okay, go.
I had a customer who was the biggest jerk ever. Like, he asked me to get something, and then pretty much just treated me the entire time like a stock boy. Like, I asked him, I was trying to help him out, ask him what he needs. And towards the end, you know, he's checking out and everything, so I was like, it's a printer. And I'm like, so is this for business or personal? He said, yes. I said, excuse me, and he said, yes. I said, so it's for business and personal, and like he just did not speak to me the entire time afterwards. Like,
how's that being a jerk? That's like something the doctor would say.
No. Like,
you should have followed him.
No. I kept like trying to talk to him, and he either would just ignore me or give me a not relevant answer.
Maybe he was just socially awkward.
No. Apparently, he comes in a lot. Like, he made one of my managers cry. Apparently. I don't know the entire situation, but yeah, apparently he was really mean. He's been really mean to some of our coworkers.
I need to meet this man. This, like, you had never know. He probably like comes in and out of the phone box outside.
It makes people cry. That is not the master song.
Clearly, he's the master. Clearly the master needs to buy printers.
Okay, are we going to talk about the fandom thing, or...?
Yeah, let's go into that before we run out of time. I mean, what's time? Anyway. I guess our last topic... I'm sorry?
I said you're just a madman in a box.
Maybe.
Because you're a box on the screen right now. Oh.
Many people's surprise, today was like the first day I actually decided to watch Sherlock, and that was just because I broke down and I wanted to like see what the hype was about. That and because I had nothing else better to do.
You in your room crying, I need to watch Sherlock.
I had nothing else better to do, and trust me, after watching it, I was like, I wish I would have found something else better to do, but I couldn't.
Really?
It's just... I expected so much because of so much hype that was surrounding it, that after watching the first episode, it just, like, it was, like, it just left, like, a really stale taste in my mouth. What? Not stale taste. Like, it didn't leave any taste in my mouth. It was just, like, well, I mean, that's what stale is, mainly. It just felt like it didn't fit what I was expecting.
That's weird, because...
I'm sure that's... Go ahead.
I felt like a lot of people, like, feel like Sherlock is gonna be worse than it is from, like, the fandom, like, scaring you off, and then they, like, if they actually watch it, then they like it, but, I mean...
Well, see, that's the thing, like, I didn't go into it, like, expecting the worst out of it, because I was going into it expecting, like, what everybody else had anticipated I would expect from it. Like, I had so many people telling me, you just need to watch the first episode, trust me, watch the first episode and you're gonna fall in love with it. So, from that kind of a hype, I expect, like, okay, the first episode must be, like, the bomb, because if they're only expecting me to watch the first episode and fall in love with it, then this must be, like, the most amazing episode I will ever see in my life. But I finished the first episode, and it's like, it was too long. I'm following this one personality that has, like, no other, like no other rounded type characters kind of, like, surrounding him or kind of influencing him in any way, because everything is coming straight from him. And I'm like, the entire show, like, it's really 84 minutes of just this one guy and, like, these flat characters just, like, giving their confused looks every other minute. Or for Watson, just, I guess, being amazed. And, like, and it just felt like, I mean, I've read the books. And, I mean, I was discussing this with someone else after I finished reading it. I mean, after I finished watching it. And I was like, it's not like the books. It's not like he's not like the Sherlock I remember from the books. It's a little bit more different. First of all, he's a bit more arrogant than I remember. He's a sociopath, which is not really what I'm expecting from a Sherlock, and it's just all around him. I mean, I understand the show is named Sherlock, but the story shouldn't be around Sherlock. And that's what kind of, like, left a stale taste in my mouth. Like, it was just about him, and that was it. And so, like, I left it thinking, okay, this was not what I expected at all. I was expecting, I don't know, like, I was expecting fireworks.
I'd like to share, basically, with my Sherlock experience, I did not want to watch it at all. Like, the fandom, I just turned me off completely. I told people I am not watching this show. I'm already annoyed by it because that's all people ever talk about. Like, I do not want to watch it. And finally, I caved in and I watched it and I was not blown away. And, you know, I love the series. I think it's a great series. But then there's the issue of whether or not it can actually live up to the hype. And the hype that fandoms create around anything, it can never live up to that. And so, I mean, I had to go in with a mindset of, like, I've never heard of this show. I have no idea what the show is about. And, I mean, really, I didn't, because I kind of ignored anything Sherlock that popped up on Tumblr. And so, with that, I just enjoyed it as a show, and I didn't really enjoy it as much until the second season, and that's just because I have this huge thing for Moriarty. Like, really, I think 75% of why I love Sherlock is Moriarty. I think it's a great show. I don't think that, you know, I just think that the fandom, I can see definitely why you would, you know, go in and watch it and come away underwhelmed. Just, you know, it's impossible for it to live up to the hype.
Go on.
I'm just going to finish, like, I mean, if you want to continue watching a few more episodes, you know, I'd recommend it. Like, there are only 6 episodes in total. So, I mean, it's not like you'd be wasting, you know, a huge chunk of your life. So, I mean... But I wouldn't blame you if you decided, you know, that you were done with the show altogether. But
after watching the first episode, I kind of decided I didn't want to watch any more. But it wasn't because, like, it didn't live up to the hype, but because of, like, what the show is. Like, in my opinion, it's not, like,
the way
after
it's
watching
done.
The first episode. Yeah, the way it's done is not, it's not really something I would like. The way it surrounds just one character is not something I'd like. I like character development. I mean, if I even saw a hint of that in the first episode, then I probably missed it completely. I like character dynamics, which there was some, but not enough to build off of, in my opinion.
There are some really great character dynamics. If like,
I mean, I'm basing this off the first episode, so yeah. It's not like I could say off the entire season, because I'm pretty sure like within the inclusion of the entire season, you probably could say that. But I mean, off the first episode, I mean, every episode. I mean, when a screen play is written out, you kind of have to have it. It's kind of like a short novel. Like you have to have. Like, I guess, every piece of what a short novel would have. Like, you need to have character development. You need to have character-on-character dynamics with multiple characters or with whatever characters are there and things like that. And it was just missing a lot of that. Like, and that's why I'm like, I'm sitting there for a good longer than what a normal show would be and expecting, like, something to start building up, but I don't see anything building up except for this one character, and it's like I feel like I'm just reading a biography, and I'm like, I'm getting bored. Like, I don't care. I don't want to watch a biography. For that, I go to like National Geographic or something and like watch a documentary on whatever. But I don't like if it's a TV show and it has to have some round something with the characters working with each other or something, then I'm expecting it. But if I don't see that in the first episode, then it's going to kind of pull me away for the rest of this, like, for the rest, all the other shows that follow it. So.
Right, but I also don't think you can base judgments off a show off of the first episode. You really,
right.
And I know that this is, it's a little bit different from how American, or I don't even know if this is how British TV shows work or whatever, but I know like pilots are a pretty big thing in America. Like pilots are very, like, if I go back and watch the 30 Rock pilot, it's completely different compared to what the show is now. And that show, I mean, it's kind of gone off track now, it's not as popular as it was, but it's a very funny show. The first episode you're like, what is this? Like there isn't meant to be as much development because it is like a trying out of how people are going to like it. And if you think about entertainment, they're trying to reach a mass audience. Not everyone is going to be thinking about a storyline and how characters develop and stuff. It's going to be more about, has this entertained me right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the pilot tries to basically, like, set an idea for the show, but if subsequent episodes might help establish a better tone,
right.
That didn't necessarily work in the first episode completely.
But, I mean, I mean, from my experience, I tell people that I've seen the first episode of Sherlock, and to be honest, I've only seen half of the first episode of Sherlock, because I was watching it one night when didn't want to go to bed, I was completely bored, but it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had already watched half of it, and I had school the next day, so I just kind of stopped, and I actually started watching it before the hype. I saw the first episode not from any of my online friends that I knew. One of my friends from home, we were talking about DVC shows, and we were talking like, oh, I love Doctor Who, oh, I love Merlin, like stuff like that. And she said to me, she was like, have you seen Sherlock? And I was like, no, I don't even know what that is. So when I saw that the episode, I don't even remember where I first saw the episode, whether it was on like, I don't think it was, it might have been Netflix, whatever, Hulu, something. So I watched the first half, and I mean, I was impressed by the way the show was done. I'm not really like a Sherlock Holmes fan in general, but I don't, coming from that perspective where I didn't really know about the hype going into it, I liked what I saw. I wasn't totally totally engaged in it, but that was also because it was late, I was tired, and as well as it was the first episode, like I was saying. So. But what about other fandoms?
I don't think we have time for other fandoms, do we?
I agree, I'm like,
it doesn't matter.
I gotta go about it. Practice.
Could I might just be able to throw in something real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Just kind of touching on Sherlock as well as fandoms in general. I found Sherlock on Netflix, and this is before I really got into anything online, like talking with you guys and stuff. So I watched it, and my experience with Sherlock Holmes is limited to basically stereotypes about this character and the Robert Downey Jr. movie. My experience with Sherlock in particular, I didn't have that hype surrounding it, kind of like with Mary, and I watched it, and I liked it, but unlike with Saul, even without the fandom, I didn't have really as much of a established background with the character, so like I really liked it, but that's because I compared it almost more like a show like Dexter, where you have this kind of crazy main character, and it's just interesting seeing how he interacts with people that are not as intelligent as him necessarily. And again, like I said, with the fandoms, like it wasn't until after LeakyCon that I really even got into Harry Potter. Like, I was into Harry Potter in a personal way. I had never really shared that with anybody.
Right. Yeah.
And it was, it's just fandoms. I understand what you guys are saying about how fandoms can overblow something, but, like, for Sherlock, Harry Potter, that had never really happened with me.
Right.
So which I think did allow me to appreciate these shows a little differently. That was all I wanted to say about it.
Okay. Well, I think we are going to go ahead and call this podcast to a close unless somebody else has something that they would like to say before we go.
No? I'm good.
Corinne hasn't said much. Like, that's kind of unfortunate. Well, okay. So this has been Kimber, Saul, Mary, RC, and Corinne, and thanks for tuning in. See you next episode.
Bye.
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 Bye.